Good morning. Carsten told me I'm supposed to dismiss the kids first, so I don't know how to do this eloquently. Just go. Just go. Have fun. Don't fall asleep. That's not good. All right. I find that hard to follow up. Okay. Today, we're going to be... Carson's going to be preaching on David's going to be preaching on Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And I'm going to go ahead and read those for us. I would like to start with a little prayer, if that's okay. Father, Lord Jesus, you are mighty to save. You are amazing. Father, you are awesome. You are the only one who is worthy and deserves this overused word, awesome, Father. Thank you for your awesome power, Father. Thank you for the work that you did in Bronwyn's life, Father. And we just praise you and we thank you that you let us witness that and be a part of that, Father. I pray for David as he brings your word, Father God, that you will anoint him, Father. And I pray, Father, that your word will be spoken clearly and that it will fall on fruitful ground, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So chapter 4 is titled Ruth, Boaz marries Ruth. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from his family or from the town records. Today, you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel, and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah."
Good morning, everyone. My name is David McCauley, and I have the pleasure of serving here at ICF as a ministerial intern. Two things before we start with prayer. If I start to move backwards towards that edge, please let me know. And the other thing, what a wonderful day it is to be the witnesses of God's work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, as we transition now to listen to your word, my Lord, I ask that you open our hearts, and my Lord, give us the wisdom to listen, and my Lord, apply it to our lives. I pray this all in your mighty and precious name. Amen. Have you ever loved something so much that you would do anything to get it. Let me begin with telling you a story about a little boy and his boat. Tom carried his new boat to the edge of the river. He carefully placed it in the water and slowly let it out on a string. How smoothly the boat sailed. Tom sat in the warm sunshine admiring the little boat that he has built. But suddenly, a strong current caught the boat. Tom tried to pull back the boat, but the string broke. The little boat raced downstream. Tom ran along the sandy shore as fast as he could, but the little boat soon slipped out of sight. All afternoon, he searched for the boat. Finally, when it was too dark to look, Tom sadly went home. A few days later, on the way home from school, Tom spotted a boat just like his in the store window. When he got closer, he could see. Sure enough, it was his. Tom hurried to the store manager and said, "Sir, that's my boat in your window. I made it." "Sorry, son," the manager replied, "but someone else brought it in this morning. If you want it, you will have to buy it for $1. Tom ran home, counted all his money, exactly $1. When he reached the store, he rushed to the counter. "Here's the money for my boat." As he left the store, he hugged the boat and said, "You are twice mine. First I made you, now I bought you." Tom demonstrates the concept of the redeeming love. The word redemption appears 23 times in the book of Ruth. The concept of redemption is not only key to the book of Ruth, but to the whole of the Bible. The Bible talks about our story of redemption. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. Redemption involves a deliverer, a redeemer, the one who can ransom us from the bondage by paying the cost. Redemption always have a cost. It comes at a cost. In our passage this morning, we'll see a stark difference between two potential redeemers. One guided by love and obedience of God's law, which is Boaz, and a willing redeemer, somebody who's willing to pay whatever the cost. And another, the unnamed redeemer, acting out of self-love, who is unwilling to bear and absorb the cost of redemption. In a passage today, Boaz will do three things. And these three things will show us three characteristics of redeeming love. So, first, redeeming love pursues. Second, redeeming love pays. And third, redeeming love promises. In chapter 3, Ruth, looking for a redeemer, goes to Boaz with a marriage proposal and an appeal to be Naomi's kinsman redeemer. But then we hit a roadblock in our love story. There is another closer kinsman redeemer than Boaz who has the first right to redeem Naomi and Ruth. The chapter ends with Naomi evaluating the encounter and telling Ruth to wait, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today, showcasing the character of Boaz. He's a man of action. He pursues the matter until it is resolved. Boaz gets up the same very day, heads straight to the gate of Bethlehem, and takes three steps of actions in order to find a solution. Firstly, he goes to the gate in the search of kinsman redeemer. Then he convenes a legal assembly. And then he informs the kinsman redeemer of Naomi's land. In ancient Israel, the gate was the bottleneck through which many of the people would pass through en route to work in the fields or taking care of other businesses. So it was the best place to find the nearer kinsman. The gate was a socio-economic center of the town, which housed meetings, places like courthouses, where officials would sit and settle and oversee the legal transactions. So, no sooner Boaz reaches the town gate that he finds the kinsman redeemer. The ESV translation gives us a good clue of God's handiwork in this meeting. ESV translation says, "And behold, the Redeemer whom Boaz had spoken came by. Translated here means, it just so happens, convening the element of surprise. As we have seen throughout the book of Ruth, that nothing has happened by chance, but rather through the providence of the Lord. And here is another example of just that. Boaz calls him over and refers to him as my friend and tells him to sit down. And they both sat down. Now the Hebrew word here for my friend is a rhyming phrase. It says peloni alimoni, which accurately translated would mean so and so. I'm sure Boaz would have known his name. He is his relative, but the author refuses to name the character. The closer Redeemer remains unnamed throughout the story of Ruth, perhaps because he refused to serve as a Redeemer, to perpetuate the name of the dead, or to avoid him shame and disgrace for being the unwilling Redeemer. Whatever the reason may be, Boaz knew of him and swiftly produces 10 elders to get the legal quorum for the proceeding. I see God's hand in this as well. I think the members here at ICF would understand how difficult it is to get the quorum at the CFM. The elders had held a significant position in the Jewish society, setting up the legal proceeding. They would be witnesses to the transaction that is about to happen. The whole convening of assembly already testifies the character of Boaz, that he has the resolve to redeem. He is obedient to the law and provided and the unnamed Redeemer the perfect opportunity to practice his right. After convening of legal assembly, we get to our first round of negotiation between the unnamed Redeemer and Boaz in verses 3 and 4. Then he said to the kinsman Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Boaz starts the negotiation by informing the near kinsman redeemer of Naomi's land. A couple of things to notice here. Firstly, the land. According to the scripture, every tribe in Israel received a land, and they were strictly prohibited to sell it permanently, and especially to a foreigner. Leviticus 23, verse 23, the land must not be sold, Lord says, because the land is mine, and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. But if a family was near bankruptcy, the owner of the land could mortgage it or sell it to somebody in his tribe. Then a nearest kinsman redeemer could come and redeem the land and buy it back for his relative. Secondly, we see Boaz's resolve. He goes to the redeemer in verse 4 as we read, I thought I will bring the matter to your attention. It suggests to me that the unnamed redeemer has been unaware of his relatives. We see early insight into Boaz's Mr. So-and-so's character, contrasted with Boaz, who has the determination to pursue the matter until it is resolved. We see here the selfless act of Boaz, which originates from his true love of the Lord and for Ruth. He desires to provide redemption for Ruth and Naomi, even if it means that he does not end up being the redeemer. He is not trying to hide any detail from the rightful Redeemer. He does not try any schemes or manipulation, but rather adopts an honest approach, which is clear. He does not conform to the old cliche, everything is fair in love and war, but rather puts his faith in God's good law and dies the death of self. This shows us the character and his faithful obedience. Towards the end of verse 4, Boaz makes another very clear statement to the near redeemer that if he does not redeem it, then he will redeem it because he is next in line. The offer Boaz makes to the redeemer is too good to reject. So he replies, I will redeem it. He is a good businessman. He knows it's going to be a good investment. Extra land would mean extra crops, which would mean more money and a potential of a good life. You have to feel for Boaz here. This news would have crushed him. His heart must have sank on hearing these words. His love for Ruth is real, and he might lose her. It is so natural for us to do what is good for ourselves. The unnamed redeemer sees the offer of land and says, "Oh, this purchase is profitable for me. I will redeem it indeed." Boaz stands in contrast to our self-love culture, which promotes the focus inward and uncover what is important to you and take it. Boaz displays the true love, the love that is focused outward and other-centered. Boaz wants to do what firstly is right in God's eyes and then whatever is best for Ruth. If this Redeemer can provide for her every need, so be it. Boaz pursues redemption because of his love for Ruth in obedience to God's law. The first characteristic of redeeming love that we see in Boaz is that redeeming love pursues. Boaz pursues redemption for Ruth, the object of his love. Second thing the love does is love pays. Next, Boaz, still looking for the interest of Ruth and Naomi, makes sure that the near kinsman redeemer understands the complete price of redemption. In verse 5, read, "Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property.'" There is no indication that the Redeemer even knew of Ruth or about the law of the Lord, because Boaz's complete and detailed account of the responsibility catches him out by surprise, which causes him to rethink on his decision that he made earlier. What Boaz is implying here is the clause that comes with the nearer kinsman redeemer, the law of Levirate marriage, which is mentioned in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. It says, "If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of brother-in-law to her." So the nearest redeemer cannot just take the land, he must also marry the widow and provide an heir who will inherit the land so that she is protected from poverty and abuse, the covenant land of the dead is protected, and the son that is born will carry the name of the dead. So Boaz is teaching and holding God's word out as a standard. I find this negotiation slightly similar to a medicinal drug advert that you would see. The ad starts with showcasing all the benefits of the medicine and then ends up with a sped up version of all the unwanted side effects. One which makes me laugh most of the time is the side effect of death itself. I'm sure the person who's taking the medicine is trying to avoid just that. Anyways, I think Boaz did not speedily go over the side effects, in this case, the price of redemption. He would have even slowed down and little, maybe even stressed on the words like Ruth, the Moabitess, a widow, and maintaining the name of the dead, just to give him the sense of the duty associated with redemption. In verse 6, we read, "At this kinsman redeemer said, 'Then I cannot redeem, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it.'" Three important things to consider here, which serves as obstacle and causes the unnamed redeemer to take a U-turn over his decision and say the price is too high. What are the costs? Why would he not pay the price of redemption? Well, firstly, it is the identity of Ruth, the Moabitess. Now, Moabites were the rivals of Israelites. They hated and despised each other. You have to remember, Ruth is a foreigner and not a Jew. The foreigners would worship other gods, and they practiced child sacrifices and other immoral practices. The nearer redeemer was unaware of Ruth's faith. and noble character. So he assumes that marrying her would mean identifying with the Gentile people. In a marriage, there's always a shift in identity, where one shifts from being an I to we, which could mean that he would be guilty by association. He does not want to hurt his social standing. Not only that she was Moabite, but she was a widow. If you remember the law of gleaning we found in chapter 2, which allowed Ruth to glean in the fields, the purpose of that law was meant for the marginalized, the lowest of the low. Ruth was gleaning in the fields just to provide food for Naomi and herself. Marrying a poor widow would mean taking care of her needs daily, so thus hurting his social status. Again, that shift from going I to we that the marriage entails. Lastly, we see there was a financial cost to it. Acquiring Ruth, who is young and a childbearing age, this means that if heir is produced, then he will carry the name of Elimelech and take over the land that he had bought. And also, most of the Bible interpreters say that he might have an existing family, so it will mean the dilution of his wealth, not an increase. For him, the price is too high. Though he has the right and resources to be the kinsman redeemer, he lacks the necessary resolve to pay the redemption price. So he renounces his right and hands it over to Boaz. I cannot help but think how Boaz would have reacted to this news. He must be trying to hold back his joy, trying not to smile, or maybe saying thank you, God, repeatedly in his heart. Boaz knows that God's law is meant for good. He knows Ruth's noble character and her faith that he has come to love. She may be a Moabite, but she has put her trust in the one and true God of Israel. He is willing to absorb all that the unnamed Redeemer has rejected. So redeeming love pursues redemption, and then we see here that redeeming love pays the price. Boaz has the necessary resolve to pay the full cost of redemption out of love for Ruth. The author in verses 7 and 8 gives us some cultural information now on how the redemption and transfer of property was finalized. Verse 7 and 8. Now in the earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. There were no receipts back then to verify the purchase or transfer, so the sandal will have to do. It was a symbolic act of declaring his abdication to the right of redemption. The unnamed redeemer does not do anything illegal, for it is not compulsory for him to perform the act of redemption, even though in the culture it will be considered disgraceful. He assessed the situation and did what was right in his own eyes. Nevertheless, contrast is striking. Where the unnamed redeemer is willing to take what he wants, Boaz is willing to give. He does what is right in God's good law. Redemption always has a price, pays the price. Lastly, we see the redemption, the redeeming love promises. In verses 9 and 10, Boaz makes a public vow, a promise to be a faithful redeemer. He calls all together and not just the elders to be his witnesses. He declares in full and detailed account of his commitment to the widows. He expands on three commitments that were made aware earlier in the negotiations. Firstly, he has bought all the property from Naomi, all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. He gives a comprehensive account of redemption of the land in the name of the family of three men. Boaz was willing to redeem everything, no matter the cost. Secondly, he declares his intention to marry Ruth. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife. Notice how he has been open about Ruth's identity. We We find it repeated in these instances every time her name is mentioned. Thirdly, he states the purpose of the marriage, to maintain the name of the dead with his property so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. In response to this commitment, all that are gathered affirm their role as witnesses and call on the name of Yahweh and bestow threefold blessings on Boaz in verses 11 and 12. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming in your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." There are three blessings here in these verses. The first blessing is for Ruth. Rachel and Leah were two wives of their ancestor Jacob, who bore 12 sons, which made up the 12 tribes of Israel. The blessing here is not primarily number of children to build up the house of Boaz, but rather highlights the importance of the future hope that comes through his lineage. Second blessing is directed at Boaz, and it parallels to one for Ruth. May he achieve might and be famous. Through the marriage to Ruth, may his own family name be established. And the last blessing is for the family to be. Referring to Perez, who was one of the sons of Judah and Tamar, mentioned in Genesis 38, the resonance between the two stories could be the reason behind this blessing. Tamar, like Ruth, was a widow and a non-Israelite, looking for her redeemer. And Perez was also born out of Levirate marriage, which is present in the case of Boaz and Ruth. Also, in the concluding genealogy of this chapter, we find Perez is the ancestor of Boaz and David. The people pray that Boaz would be like their ancestor and have numerous and renowned descendants. Boaz covenants to bind himself to Ruth in marriage. Redeeming love makes binding promises. Boaz fulfills his promise to redeem Ruth that he made in chapter 3, verse 13. "If he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it." What a beautiful picture of redeeming love displayed by Boaz. He pursued the matter, even ready to pay the cost of dying to self for the welfare of Ruth. He had the necessary resolve to pay the price of redemption, and he covenanted to be faithful. We learn that Boaz will not rest until the matter of redemption is resolved. Boaz shows the redeeming love, the love that overcomes all obstacles. And in fact, that's the main point of our message today. Redeeming love overcomes all obstacles. Boaz pursues redemption. Boaz pays the full price of redemption. Boaz enters the marriage covenant, binding himself to Ruth. Redeeming love overcomes all obstacle. It pursues, it pays, it promises. As we wrap up things this morning, Ruth 4 gives us the picture of just, righteous, and eager redeemer, motivated by love. We cannot help but see what Boaz illustrates for us. He illustrates our own ultimate kinsman redeemer. Jesus is the true and greater Boaz. Boaz is the picture for us of God as the redeemer of Israel. He reveals to us the loving kindness, the redeeming love of God. As we see in Boaz's character, that he will not rest until the matter of redemption is resolved. So does he, our ultimate kinsman redeemer. He makes the action and initiative to bring about redemption for us. The scripture in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 reminds us, this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son as atoning sacrifice for us. Out of his love for us, Jesus pursues us. What a picture that is. The God of universe pursues you. He desires to redeem you. He desires to cover your sins. Trust in him and you will find him in the chaos. Jesus pursues you. Jesus paid the full price of redemption. The gospel connection is that there is no price or obstacle that can deter God from redeeming those he loves. Redemption always has a cost, and Jesus alone can pay the price of salvation because he redeems us by his precious blood. As the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 till 19, "For you know that it was not by perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He paid the price. He will not rest until redemption is accomplished." This is the gospel. This is our good news. Jesus died for our sins to reconcile us with God and was raised to life. Just as Boaz absorbs the full cost of redemption, so also does God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus promises to enter into a binding covenant with us. In Boaz, we see a groom vowing to his bride to be faithful. It gives us a picture of us as a church, the bride of Jesus. Like in a marriage where I becomes we, this is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. He took on our sins. He identified with us in our guilty status and absorbed the just wrath of God upon evil and sin. Redemption always has a cost, and Jesus paid for us to be free from the guilt and shame of our sin. This is love. This is the love of God that he has for us, church. Jesus' redeeming love pursues us. Jesus' redeeming love pays the full price. And Jesus' redeeming love promises to bind himself to us in eternal covenant. Jesus really is the true and better Boaz. Jesus' redeeming love overcomes all obstacles. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, what a beautiful picture, oh Lord, that the God of universe pursues us. Lord, you have redeemed us from our sinfulness. You came down onto this earth and took the lowly form. Lord, what a big sacrifice that is. Thank you, dear Lord, that you make promise to us, you covenant with us to be our Redeemer and never abandon us. Lord, what a joy and what a hope that we have in you. Lord, I pray all this in your name. Amen. As the worship team comes up, so how we can apply today's message to our lives? Our main point is redeeming love overcomes all obstacles. So firstly, consider the cost of your redemption. How does it help you to grow in gratitude for what Jesus has done for you? God's word is an important clue for finding him in the midst of chaos. How is his word guiding your life? What is he teaching you through it? Boaz obeyed God, even when it came at a cost. Are you willing to sacrifice your desire in order to be obedient to God? Serving others come at a cost. Giving tithes come at a cost. Building a relationship with a friend comes at a cost. Doing the right thing at work comes at a cost. Will we live for him who died for us? God of universe pursues you. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. Jesus promises to restore you. Will you accept his invitation for redemption today?